Tonight, I am going to bring a word of God that maybe from the Lord that maybe we haven't heard before, or maybe that we've not thought of before. And then I might be wrong, and you may all just say, yeah, we've heard that before. But I would like to turn to Galatians, the third chapter, and look at verse 15 and 16. This is something that's interesting. And as I go through this message tonight, it's going to be something that I want our eyes to be opened. Our eyes to be opened to the Word of God. And that we would look at it, as Brian always says, correctly. I always thought to myself when he says that, I'm like, those poor people back in the day that didn't have any education. I wonder what they did. But they just depended on the Spirit to lead them and guide them and direct them. Because they didn't have a lot of education and they really needed somebody to help them. But the Word of God says this, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed. What he's talking about here is the promise that was made to Abraham, the covenant that was made to him when he said that you're going to look on the stars of the heaven and I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to look on the sands of the sea and that, and you're going to be a great nation. And he's telling Abraham, this is talking about Abraham. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not as to seeds, but as one seed, and to thy seed, which is Christ. There's just one seed. There's not a lot of seeds. There's just one seed. And that seed is Christ. Now, to understand this scripture, we would really have to go back to the beginning. And that is Genesis, and we don't have to turn there, but we know Genesis 1, verse 1 says, and God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void, it was without form. And he said, in verse 3, he said, God said. In verse 6, God said. In verse 9, God said. In verse 11, God said. God said. God said, let there be. And there was. All he had to do was speak the word. And he said it, and it was. The word of God spoke creation into existence. Now we know from reading the scriptures, we hear it every week, we know that the Word of God is Jesus. And we know that John in his first chapter declares, John, St. John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3, that all things were made by him. All things were made by him. Who? The Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. There was nothing made that wasn't made. Paul's writing to the Colossian church in chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, that Jesus, the Word, the image of the invisible God, created all things. The Word of God, the spoken Word of God, created all things. In fact, verse 17 says that he was, who's that? Jesus, was before all things. Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 44 gives us an insight to the Creator in verse 6, speaking of how all things were made. We can look at that. Isaiah 44 and 6. See what it says. And it talks about how he is the Alpha and Omega. That he is the beginning and the ending. In Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and besides me, there is no God. He is the mighty God. I think also that John, in his Revelation book, also says that Jesus says to them that I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, beginning and the end. Speaking of Jesus. And that's in the first chapter of Revelation, verse 8 and 11. Isaiah, we're in Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44 and 24 says, and we'll look at that. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone and that spread abroad the earth by myself, the word of God. This was prophesied and was told to us by the prophets, yet to them it was a mystery. They didn't understand a lot. They could see things, but it was a mystery to them. Now, Paul told the Colossian church in his letter to them in chapter 1, verse 26, that the mystery that was hidden from ages past has now been revealed to his saints. So many times we're like, it's a mystery. I don't understand it. Well, the mystery is no longer a mystery. Jesus is not the mystery. We know who Jesus is now. And the mystery has been revealed to his saints. And now that we have established who the Creator is, we see in the beginning that God did not just speak man into existence, but he made man. So you remember when I said, God said. Well, he didn't say with Adam. He created him. In Genesis 2, 6 and 7, he created him from the dust of the earth. He actually made him. He made him from what he made. He spoke the earth into existence, and then he created Adam out of the dust of the earth. Whew. Made him. So here's Adam. There he is. Beautiful Adam, man. Well, he's not breathing, though. He's like, he doesn't have a heartbeat. He doesn't have anything until God breathes into him the breath of life. The breath of life, in essence, in Adam, he was a dead man, really, until the breath came into him. His blood began to run through his veins. All of his nerve endings began to respond. It was God's breath, the Spirit, that did this. And Adam was perfect, and it began. Eve then was made. In chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, and the seed of God began. The seed, not two seeds, not many seeds, but there's just one seed. And that seed is Christ. That's amazing to think about, that it goes all the way back to the beginning. From Adam and Eve to Noah, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Judah, the tribe that Jesus came from. Humanly, and to David, on down the line, here comes the lineage of Jesus Christ, the bloodline of Christ. Turn to Matthew 1 if you would, and let's look at Matthew, the first chapter. I'm not going to read all these names because I probably can't name all of them. But if you would read the book, it says St. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation. You notice that it doesn't say generations. It says the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then it goes on and starts to tell us all the begats. And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. It keeps on going on down. And Matthew gives us the account of the generation of Jesus Christ. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, not generations, but generation. And in verse 16, it tells us, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now the seed of Christ has come down through the ages. Now the birth of Jesus was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 9 and 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We usually read that scripture a lot during the Christmas time. And I would say that as we look at this in what the Word says, that we wonder sometimes why Jesus would be called the everlasting Father. That's interesting. Why would Jesus be called, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So, well, there is a reason. Remember, the mystery that was hidden is no longer a mystery because it's been revealed to us. William Zsasz was born in 1897. Amelia Rose Zsasz was born in 1901. And they met and were married. And on November the 7th of 1930, they had a son. And his name was Harold William Zsasz. That's my dad. And then in 1903, Robert Floyd Price was born. And in 1910, Laura Beatrice Levesey was born. And they married. And on September the 10th, 1932, they had a little girl, and her name was Clara Beatrice Price. That was my mother. Now, Harold William Zsasz and Clara Beatrice Price met and were married in 1957. In 1959, my brother Gary was born. Gary Norman Zsasz. In 1961, a long time ago, I was born, Robert William Zsasz, named after all of them. And then Diane's parents met, Jerry Messer and Shelby Jean Sizemore, and they were married. And on June 19, Diane Sue Messer was born. So Robert William Zsasz met Diane Sue Messer, and they were married on October 1980. And then on August of 1987, we had a little girl, Rebecca Noel Zsasz. And on May the 20th, we had a baby boy, Timothy Ryan Zsasz. In each one of these accounts, I have read the wife took on the husband's name. The blood that runs through my children's veins come from both sides of our family, all the way back to great, 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 great grandparents. It runs through their veins. And then my children, they took on my name. I said all of that to highlight that we too have taken on the name of what Isaiah prophesied, the everlasting Father. We have taken on a name because of what Jesus did at Calvary. By shedding his blood for the remission of our sins, his blood is now on us. You remember the bloodline? Because why is that? Because we read in verse 17 of Matthew, you'll notice that there was nobody like, and Jesus begot, and Jesus begot. There was no children, natural children, of earthly children born. He didn't have a wife, for one. Some may debate that, but I'll tell you, he did not have a wife. And he did not have earthly children. But his blood is on us tonight. So guess what? We are his children. You'll notice in chapter 1, Matthew said the generation of Jesus Christ ends with Jesus. But it didn't end. He was not married. He didn't have any, like I said, earthly offspring. But because of Calvary and the death, burial, and resurrection, he has made it possible for us to be adopted into his family. We, not being Jews, not that I know of. Maybe somewhere along the line, if I took a test or something, they may say you're this much, but I don't think so. I think Rebecca did that already, and we're not. But we are not Jews. We weren't any relation to Abraham. We had no hope. And we were foreigners. We were aliens. I believe that it was Brother Steve said that we were enemies of God. The Bible tells us we were enemies. We had no hope to the promises of Abraham because of what Jesus did on the cross. A way has been made. A way has been made. I'm glad that a way has been made. Then in Acts, the 10th chapter, we see at the house of Cornelius, Peter comes in and preaches the word of God to the Gentiles. And pardon me, but I like to say Holy Ghost. You know, I was raised saying Holy Ghost. Some people like Holy Spirit. I like Holy Ghost. Okay. And in Acts chapter 10, as Peter preached to the Gentiles, the Holy Ghost was poured out on the Gentiles, and Peter sought for himself. And in Acts 15, verse 14, James declares that God had visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. I am glad the name is on me tonight. I've got the family name on me. The name of Jesus is on me. I'm glad of that tonight. The mystery doesn't stop there. Now listen to this. I thought of this in bed one night, and it almost kept me awake all night. When Diane and I met, we were not related. Not that I know of. But when we met, as far as I know, we weren't related. Now in the eyes of God, we were one flesh. But in reality, we do not share the same bloodline. We don't. Like Jesus, we did not share his natural or spiritual bloodline until it was made possible at Calvary. Now, we are his children because of the seed, not seeds, but the seed. See, the seed of Abraham, we are now children. The Bible tells us we are children of Abraham by faith. The same promises that were on Abraham are now ours. Why is that? Because of what Jesus did at Calvary. It's all about the blood. The blood has been transferred to us. Now, we are children because of the blood. And as Brian always says, isn't Christ glorious? Isn't he wonderful? Now, as Peter declared in 1 Peter, if you would turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter with me, and let's read this. See, the mystery is no longer a mystery. 1 Peter, I'm hoping that I can find it real easy right here. Let's see. What you remember what I said in Matthew, the generation of Jesus Christ? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Oh my, here it is. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in times past, we weren't a people. We were nothing. We had no hope. But are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now has obtained mercy. We had no hope. But now, guess what we are? We're a chosen generation. We're the generation of Jesus Christ. We're his people. We're his children. Amen. So, like I said, I was hoping that tonight that some of this stuff would just come together. Paul tells the church in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12:27. So this is unbelievable when you think about it. Now we're his children. But 1 Corinthians 12:27 says that we are the body of Christ. Wait a minute. So I'm his child, but I'm also the body of Christ. Now, the writer of Romans tells us in Romans 8, 14 through 17, that we are children of God and joint heirs with Christ. Oh, time out. So I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm the body of Christ, and I'm joint heirs with Christ. How can I be all those things? Wow, this is amazing. And now we have access to the name that's above every name. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Why is that? Because the name's been applied to us. That's the family name. Paul said, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom all heaven and earth is named. We've got a name on us. He's coming back for a people that's called by his name. We've got the name applied to us because of what he did at Calvary. There's power in that name. Tonight, for Lindsay, there's healing in that name. For Karen, there's healing in that name. For Patrick and Carissa, there's healing. All those names that are on the list, the prayer list, there's healing and there's power in the name of Jesus. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. There is power in the name of Jesus. We sing those songs a lot of time, and sometimes maybe we just kind of breeze through them, but there is power in the name of Jesus. Jesus one day will return, and the Word tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 9 through 11, that he, wait a minute, this can't be, that he's the groom and we're the bride. Well, now we're the bride, we're the children, we're joint heirs, we're the body of Christ. I mean, how many other things are? I mean, we're so many things to Jesus because of what he's done for us. We are the bride of Christ. Now, coming to church every Saturday night is not just something that we say, okay, I've marked it off the list, and I'm good till next week. No, this is a place. This is a place where the body of Christ meets. And Jesus meets with us to meet the needs of anyone who is in need. And I'm telling you tonight, there is not one time that I walk into this place that I'm not in need of something. We're all in need. And I just want you to know, there's an old song that next week we're going to be making a YouTube video of old gospel songs. A couple of the guys got together and they wanted to do this. There was a song that we said, hey, have you remember this song? When it was all over with, we had like 250, 300 songs that we remembered. And then we weren't even looking at anything. We just like name them off over the years, all these years that we've been in church. But I remember this song particularly when I would sit in church and they would sing it. And I could see Jesus just walking through the church. And as a little child, I could see him walking through the church. And I could see people like reaching out. And the song said, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. He's here. We just don't come because we're like, okay, I want to see you guys, and we talk a lot after church. Jesus is here. Reach out. The woman with the issue of blood, guess what she did? She said, I don't care. I don't care what I'm not supposed to do. I've got to get to the hem of his garment. If I get to his hem, I'll be made whole. And I don't care who sees me. I don't care who knows. I've got to get to Jesus. And sometimes I think we may be a little shy. Like, I told somebody the other night, I didn't get baptized for a long time. I didn't get baptized till I was 13 because I didn't want people to see me get baptized. I was too shy. I'm like, I don't want people to see me. Mom, don't you want to get baptized? Nope. Don't want to get baptized. Well, you know, you need to. Nope, I don't want to get baptized. And one night, somebody said, you know, you need to be baptized. And I said, yeah, you know I need to be. So I'm going to get baptized. And then after that, they couldn't shut me up. It gave me a boldness or something. But this is a place where the body of Christ meets. And Jesus meets with us to meet our needs. And I will say this. And there's no guilt trip tonight. Jesus did everything he did to save us. Everything that he did to save us from a world of sin. And if you've not repented of your sins, if you've not been baptized, buried in with him in baptism, received the Spirit, you're a candidate for the greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind, to be saved from this crummy world of sin. He is our high priest. He is our supreme sacrifice for sin. He's the living water. Have you ever looked at the temple plan? Guess what the first thing they did? They came up to the priest came up to this altar of sacrifice, and he killed the sacrifice. And he put it on the altar, and he burnt it. He took the blood, put it on his ear. Of all things, he put it on his big toe. And then he went to the laver, and he washed. And then he went into the holy place. Where was the table of showbread? Was the candlesticks? And then there was the altar of incense. And then there was the veil. And then there was the holiest of holies, where the Ark of the Covenant sat. And if you look at what Jesus is, he's the high priest. Here he comes. He's the sacrifice. He's the living water. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He's the intercessor. That's the altar of incense. And he also is the veil. The Bible says the veil, which is to say his flesh. He's the veil. And then you go into the holiest of holies and where the presence of God is. And now today we have access to the holy place because of what he did for us. He is the light of the world, and he is our intercessor. We are the seed of Christ because his spirit lives in us. You see, I told about my heritage, but I would like to expand and show you a little bit of a picture of what Jesus did for our family. Okay? God placed two little boys into our life, into Adam and Rebecca's life. When they were officially adopted, they had a name change. We're not who we used to be. We've had our names changed. Our name has been changed. We're a people now because we've been adopted into the kingdom of God. We were foreigners. We were aliens. We were enemies. But now we're a people that have been called by his name. And those boys, they're ours now. They're something else too. They're a handful, but they're ours. The old song says, I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I am glad that I chose to be a part of your family. Sometimes this family, we're closer to this family than we are our natural families. Because, why is that? Because they haven't chose to want to choose Jesus. And I'm not saying that makes us like, you don't like Jesus, okay, you're not my friend anymore. You're not my family. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a bond with the people of God because his spirit dwells in us and we are his children. Aren't you glad that one day he saw us before the foundation of the world? He saw us. There's a song out there. If you ever get a chance to listen to it, it's by Merle Ewing. And it says, he saw me. And it talked about in the multitude of space stood a pure and holy God. And in silent solitude, he just saw everything. He saw babbling brooks and wildflowers grow, and he could hear a robin sing. And he saw all those things. But down through the ages, guess what? He saw me. And he knew if I was to be like him, he'd have to become like me. So he became flesh and died so that we could be like him. If this same spirit that was in Jesus Christ be in you, when he returns, it will quicken us. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He's coming back. He is. He's coming. A lot of times we forget that. A lot of times we don't hear about that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And it might be tomorrow. It might be next year. It might be in 2030. It might be, I might not even be here. But I know one thing, that if I am in the grave's not going to hold me down. It's not going to hold me down because it's going to quicken us. Why is that? Because he's coming back for people called by his name. And that name has been applied to me. May we all desire tonight to receive the great blessing of salvation that Jesus has made available to us. Because why? In the words of our pastor, he is glorious. Amen. He is wonderful. He's mighty and worthy of all praise. Lord, we thank you tonight for this time together. We're thankful for what you have done for us, that we can be a part of the family of God and have your name placed on us and have the blessings that were given all the way back to Abraham. Now those same blessings are ours because of what you did for us. Lord, all those that are sick, all those that are afflicted, all those that are in need, we pray for them tonight that they will receive healing and salvation and deliverance, whatever it may be. We have faith to believe that what your word says. We sang the song tonight. All your promises are yes and amen. And every promise in the book is ours because you have given it to us. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Help us tonight in all that we do and help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you tonight.